Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring Four Left Feet performing a tango of trivia, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast is one of our favorite things to do, our monthly Nerd Alerts.
Nerd Alerts. This time for March, because we did it in February and we try and keep it on a monthly basis. But now is March, which seems way too quick, but that's what's happening.
Well, because February is short.
It is. It's my birthday month, but it is the shortest month, so I don't know if I have an opinion about that, but it is what it is.
Yes. Happy birthday to Mikey.
Thank you. I just turned 13, so I'm excited about it.
And now we go over to the Nerd Alert News Desk, where Mikey has the latest headlines.
From the internet and from newspapers or newspapers on the internet, it doesn't matter. If it has nerdy things in it, I probably have a note of it, and I keep it in my little note file, and we go through it now, so here comes the first one. We're going to start off with something kind of silly, but also mind-blowing for Mikey. I found on Reddit, somebody posted an Excel spreadsheet that says, hey, guess what? Marvel is releasing something every week starting in January until the end of the year. And I did not realize this at all.
But, like, explain what they're releasing. Because it seems like, you mean that the Marvel Studios, the stuff that makes movies and shows?
Yes. MCU. Okay. Yeah, Marvel Studios. Okay, yeah. Yep.
Because I'd be like, I don't know, the comic books probably come out on a fairly every weekly basis.
Yeah, they got to have a new one every week. But this blew my mind. This is for MCU. This is for TV and movies. But I'll break it down a little bit. Starting
go over the whole spreadsheet. No,
okay, here we go. Starting January 15th, we did one episode on the first half of it already, and a second episode will come about the back half. But WandaVision started on January 15th, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they had their weekly release schedule, so that's going until March 5th. But after that, for the rest of the year, every week we're going to have one new Marvel property to tune into. It's just nerd heaven. But starting after WandaVision, we get Falcon and Winter Soldier starting on March 19th.
Wow, that's so soon.
There's a weekly episode for that. May 7th, we have Black Widow coming out to streaming and theaters at the same time.
Well, finally.
May 21st, we have Loki series starting. That's a weekly release all the way up to July. After that, we have the movie Shang-Chi coming out in July 8th. July 23rd, we have the series What If coming out on a weekly basis, followed by the Miss Marvel series starting September 24th on a weekly basis with the release of Eternals, and then wrapping it up November 19th, Hawkeye is going to come out on a weekly basis to carry us out through December. So every week, there's going to be something to watch.
Wow, that's super cool. That's crazy.
I didn't think there was going to be that much Marvel stuff this year. I guess I didn't realize we were kind of in a Marvel drought because of COVID and everything, but
yeah,
2021 is looking like the year of Marvel.
Yeah, because Black Widow was supposed to come out last year, right?
Yep, it was supposed to come out in theaters, but they keep pushing it back, but it looks like the date they have finally decided on is May 7th.
Okay, well, I mean, that's the good thing about is that in the real world, these pandemic numbers seem to be trending down. I guess the vaccines must be working, and hopefully that stays that way.
There you go.
And we can get out of this and get back to the movies and stuff happening on a regular basis and everything being on to the roaring 20s. That's what my wish is, on to the roaring 20s.
Hey, history repeats itself. If we're going to repeat the roaring 20s, what better decade to repeat?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can bring back cool old slang and stuff.
And flapper dresses.
Yeah, flapper dresses. And the Charleston and things like, hey, so speaking of, here's our tangents, because nerd alerts, it's rambling sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we watched as a family, this is kind of nerdy in a different nerd realm, but for some reason, I got a hair. You find stuff on the internet, right, Mikey? You do with Nerd Alerts. I was like, I wonder what's considered like the best musical movie ever, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So do you have an idea what might be considered the best musical movie ever by like cinephiles and stuff?
The cheesy answer I want to say is Cats, because that was the longest running Broadway thing, but musical,
well,
I don't know. Moulin Rouge?
Film.
High School Musical.
No. It's Singing in the Rain.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Fred Astaire, right? Yeah.
No, no, it's that's Fred Astaire's not in Singing in the Rain. It's
Gene Kelly.
Yes, right.
Got it in two, sorry.
Yes, and Carrie Fisher's mom.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so anyway, it was done in the 40s, I think, but it's a period, or the 50s. Anyway, it's a period piece. It's set, like, back in the 20s.
Okay.
So they use, like, the 20s slang in there, and I think it's done because people watching the movie were like, huh, I remember saying stuff like that. But to us, we were like, what the heck are they talking about? And one of the ones that my kids want to bring back for the new Roaring 20s is banana oil.
What is banana oil?
So basically how it'll be used is like, someone's been pouring banana oil in your ear.
Oh, okay.
Which is basically telling you untruths, basically, or just made up stuff. You know, that's a whole bunch of banana oil you're trying to feed me.
It's an offshoot product from the Banana Republic. I kind of get it. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, we're trying to bring that back. So if our podcast as something that broadcasts out to people can get banana oil going, let's bring banana oil back because it's hilarious.
It is hilarious, but it sounds a little bit like banana oil. I don't know if you're just pouring something into my ear right now.
And it's so appropriate today with all these crazy conspiracy theory people running around and stuff.
It's all banana oil.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. The old-timey movie that when I think of like old slang that nobody uses anymore, I think of the old musical, or I guess play, Paper Moon, where he says, drink your Coney Island and drink your Long Island. And it's talking about a hot dog and an orange soda. And it's like, what is that? Like, nobody says that anymore.
I love it.
But I can only hope that 1920 slang comes back. That would be awesome.
I'm on the trolley with that.
But something that's coming up with all the release dates for Marvel that I just mentioned, interspersed between all those things that are coming out about, looks like 3 months apart, we're getting a whole bunch of new series, new movies, but they're taking a note from, I guess, the Mandalorian Gallery series, and they're also announced that they're launching Marvel Studios Assembled, which is a behind-the-scenes look with the actors, the directors, all the key players. So there's going to be one for WandaVision. There's going to be one for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There's going to be one for Black Widow. Basically, everything Marvel is putting out, they're also putting out a behind-the-scenes look at how everything was created, and it's called Marvel Studios Assembled.
That's super cool. That'll be interesting to see.
Especially with as cool as the Mandalorian Gallery series was, to see like the volume and see all the directors that were working together. So I don't know, like, I love the Mandalorian to start, but to see all these people that cared about it and had all these thoughts behind it, you know, they were adding to it. So if that's happening for these all these Marvel projects, oh, I'm super psyched for that.
It's really cool. For some reason, my brain just thinking about all this stuff and seeing these behind the scenes stuff and how we saw the stuff about the Mandalorian is just real interesting to me, how all of the barriers between the different like television and movies and all the things that used to exist have just totally fallen away nowadays. And it's like we're getting to see these movie stars like Paul Bettany and all these guys and ladies, and you're just only seeing Wanda on the big screen, you know, as the Avengers on the big screen. And then when they do superhero stuff on TV, it would always be kind of crap. You know what I mean?
At least like, up tier, yeah,
I mean, we loved it. I mean, we loved Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk from back in the day and stuff. We loved it. But for the most part, television production versus movie production, that's why you could say television production and movie production. Those two things had a difference.
Exactly.
But suddenly now, with all the streaming stuff and what we're seeing that's coming straight to our home on our small screen, even though it's coming in a different way, it's all the same, which is super cool to me as someone who grew up with like movies being a certain way and then TV being another way.
Yes.
And if you ever saw anyone on both things, it would either be someone who was up and coming through TV who became a movie star, or someone who used to be a movie star who is now having to do TV.
I'm picking up on you're using the phrase having to do TV like it was some sort of downgrade, like they're no longer cut out for movies. So now they've gone down a tier. They've gone back to quote unquote the minors and they're back on TV land.
Right. Exactly. I like that it's not that way anymore. And even too, now too, it also goes even to theater and stuff. But it was, and I think that happened first because you would hear about these major actors being in some Broadway show, even like 10 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, all your Hugh Jackmans and David Tennants, they were like, I'm taking a break from the Hollywood scene and I'm going to do actual art and go to London theater and all that stuff.
Right, right. And it didn't used to go that way. It didn't used to go that way. Mm-mm. It would be like theater would be one of the ways to get up to movies. So I think it's really neat. I guess as a nerd, as an artist myself, I just think it's really cool because I think that's what elevates it and makes everything better, that you really should have these people who know how to do all these different things and act in all these different ways. It just brings so much more to it. It's great. I love that that's happening, even though it's killing network television.
But what is network television now? Because now it's all like on streaming services and Netflix is making its own deals. It's all kind of crazy now. So
yeah, it is kind of crazy that we could get into a whole discussion about that. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime.
We could. There's spoiler alert. There's a little bit coming up on a streaming service later in their alerts, but maybe we can chat about it then.
Okay.
But with the Marvel Studios assembled, it is cool that we're getting a behind-the-scenes look and we get to see all these actors, whether it's in TV or movie, you know, now it's all the same thing. Now they're putting so much production into both of them that it's cool to get a glimpse behind both of it. It used to just be when you were watching a movie, it's like, oh, how they do the effects or what's, you know, what's the outtakes for this movie? But now the TV shows are so good that we're getting the behind-the-scenes look on that too. So very cool. But speaking of behind the scenes, there was a recent sort of Twitter storm, viral moment, social media hubbub, however you want to describe it.
Hubbub.
Hubbub, yes. A kerfluffle? I don't know.
You're trying to pull out the old slang.
I'm trying to pull out the old slang. I'm bringing it back. But there was a dust up on the new Spider-Man movie. Spider-Man 3, the Tom Holland third Spider-Man movie, now has an official title. Do you know what that official title is?
No Way Home.
No Way Home. The hilarious part about this is they sort of started it off on social media is that they had Tom Holland, Zendaya, and also Jacob Batalon, who plays Ned, Peter's best friend. They had them all sort of tweet out like fake names for what the next Spider-Man movie was going to be. And we had some options. They were Spider-Man Phone Home, Spider-Man Home Slice, and also Spider-Man Home Wrecker. But the official title for the next Spider-Man movie is No Way Home. You did catch that on the social medias?
I saw the video that they did, which was delightful. These kids delight me who are in it.
Yes.
I mean, Tom Holland delights me to no end. Zendaya delights me. It's just so funny to me just how they had them coming out of the office and he's like, he won't tell me what it is. Why won't he tell me?
Yeah, because Tom Holland, you ruined everything and you give away all spoilers for everything you're involved in.
So funny. And then they walk by a whiteboard and it's written on the whiteboard, which it was great. I mean, I just love how they do it. They just have such a spirit of fun over there at Marvel Studios. And like I said, these young actors, I love it when you get to hear Tom Holland speak in his British accent because he plays American so much.
Yes.
I don't know. That's delightful to me. And then Zendaya, the chameleon over there. And when she was just like regular Zendaya, it's like, hey, great girl next door. And then meanwhile, you see her in some like perfume ad and you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
you
know? That's the same person. What?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So I love up and coming new talent. I guess this all goes back to what we were talking about earlier with all the people doing theater and movies and television, and it's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great time to be alive as someone who consumes media and pop culture and stuff. There's just so much talent out there that's found now, and we get to see it. It's cool. I don't know.
And I think it's hilarious to me because it seems like they're also basing marketing campaigns on like how those actors are. Like,
Right.
Like Tom Holland giving away spoilers is sort of a bit, but it's like a meta bit. Like he does it at comic conventions. He does it in like obscure podcast interviews or whatever. But
yeah.
They tie that into the actual campaign for like Spider-Man. Peter Parker would totally do this because he's a teenager and he doesn't know exactly what he's doing. So he's going to give away whatever his next secret mission is.
You know what's funny, too, is that because of that, you can't trust anything. I saw some, I don't know if this is in nerd news at all, but I saw a thing talking about how someone asked Tom Holland about the other guys who play Spider-Man showing up in this movie.
Yes.
And he didn't know anything about it, so it must not be happening because always spills the beans on stuff. So the article was basically saying that people saying that the other Spider-Men are going to be in this movie is wrong because Tom Holland said he didn't know anything about it.
Yes.
And I'm like, what? And I was just so like topsy-turvy, wibbly-wobbly. It was like, wait a minute. So you're unconfirming a rumor based on the fact that the person who gives spoilers away didn't know anything about it.
But there's also the fun possibility, because we know Tom Holland can't be trusted with secrets, maybe they just didn't tell him. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I didn't read the article that way. I was like, this article's weird that you're saying, like, nope, they're not going to be in it because Tom Holland was asked and he didn't know about it. And I was like, yeah, dude, guess what? He probably thought he was talking to someone else in those scenes.
Oh, absolutely.
They probably didn't even bring those guys around.
They brought in the stand-in so Tom Holland wouldn't get any inclination of what was going on.
Yeah, they probably were like, okay, so what you know what they probably did? They probably had him do those parts too.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, so we're going to do a thing. Yeah, there's like three Spider-Men. They're all you though. So we're going to have you do these other scenes later. But right now, we're just going to have, the script manager read them off to you. Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Wait, you got to sound British for that part. Sorry, that's Tom Holland when he's in the interview.
All right, sounds good.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Sounds good. All right. But maybe I don't have to. It was funny. I don't know if you ever saw that Tom Holland interview on the Graham Norton show where he said he was back home in England doing a commercial for something.
Okay.
And as soon as they said action, he started speaking in an American accent. And they went, what are you doing?
Oh, no.
And he was like, what? He's like, I'm doing the scene. And they're like, where'd your accent go? And he's like, he's like, it almost got so he can't act in his own voice anymore.
He's been Spider-Man for too long. It's like, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good, and my voice isn't going back to my normal British intones. But that is hilarious because the rumor is there about the new Spider-Man movie, now titled No Way Home, is that the other Spider-Mans, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, will show up. And so, knowing that there's other Spider-Mans and there's No Way Home, am I led to believe that this is the multiverse that WandaVision is kind of setting up? Like, no spoilers for anything, pure speculation, but what's your opinion?
It's got to be. It's got to be. We already, no spoilers, but we already saw something that dips its toe into mixing up properties that were just acquired.
Yes.
And we know that Sony now has, because of Tom Holland, they have a tight relationship with Marvel Studios now.
That's true.
So what once we thought might have been out of the question, I think Sony is finally like, you know what? This is making we don't have to do a lot of work here. So I don't know what kind of deal was cut, but I hope they do show up and it would be super awesome. And if they do show up, then that's confirmation that some kind of sweet deal was cut. Because, I mean, imagine if you own this property and you have been successful with it. Those Sony Spider-Man movies, that none of them were flops or bombs or anything, really.
Not at all,
they did well, and a lot of people love them, especially the Tobey Maguire ones. So if someone wants to come and like do it for you and you get a cut of it and they're super successful too, so that means your cut, if they're getting points on it or whatever, is great.
Yep.
Then why would you not just let them keep doing that, right?
Oh, especially because it sounds like a lot of fun. We got a little bit of a taste of it with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse because we had different Spider-Men show up in that movie, and that was a blast. Yeah. You know, Spider-Pig and all that. I mean, John Mulaney is a voice. That's great. So the fact that they're carrying that over into, like, that's such a comic book thing to me to be like, oh, worlds are crossing over, and now they're actually doing it in the movies. It's hilarious. And the fact that they may be tying it into WandaVision and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is just huge thumbs up for me. So
yeah, they're going very comic book with this. And we've brought this up before, but I'm just going to bring it up again because we always have new listeners here and there.
Yep.
But comic books are notorious for having the different titles. Like, literally, I remember when I was a kid, and I don't know if this is currently, because it changes from here or there, but there was three Spider-Man storylines going on at the same time in three different books. So you learn early on collecting comics that if you're buying The Amazing Spider-Man, you have to keep buying Amazing Spider-Man. You can't buy the one that just has Spider-Man on it.
Yeah.
Because you'll get confused because the art will be all different and the storylines, you'll be like, wait, I thought that he was going out with Mary Jane, but he's not now. And wait, how come his uncle's alive? So literally there would be three or four or five, or who knows how many they'd have going at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was generally three, I think. It seemed like it. But there'd be three books with the same superhero in different universes. And then somewhere along the line, it would be a big deal. They'd do a one where they'd mix them up together. They'd mix up all the different storylines, and they'd have some kind of crazy multiverse thing happening. And then there's some that got crazy where they'd bring together, like, all the different heroes from all the different books, all in one giant series.
It was the crossover event. Like, it sold issues. They did it on purpose. But as a fan, I ate it up. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's been ones where, you know, you have, like, the heroes versus heroes. You have this one set of heroes versus the other set of heroes. It's how you get to see Captain America and Wolverine fight each other.
Exactly. It's the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Wolverine and Deadpool team up together. Like, who put them together? I salute you. That's great.
It's great stuff. So it's very comic booky what they're doing. I think right there is where Marvel Studios has hit it out of the park. And they have this history of success with the comic books. And all they've done is translate that into what they're doing now with live action stuff.
Oh, I hear you.
As opposed to trying to take a comic book and make it fit into Hollywood action movie type. I think that's what was done in the past. I think that's why superhero movies failed so much in the past. They're taking action movie formula and then putting a superhero in it. And comics are different than action movies. They're just different.
They have a little extra element to it, like having a crossover event or extra bad guys come in, and or having something fun just thrown in there because it's comic books. Who cares? And now movies are sort of adapting that. No, I'm totally with you.
Exactly. I think that's what we're seeing here. And I think DC really needs to look at that with their stuff. I really think they do. And I think that's why the one DC movie that I really like, that Shazam movie.
Yes.
That movie was so much like a comic book.
I believe it.
And to me, it was like the best one that I've seen that they do. So you got to know where your roots are, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think if I had to sort of put an explanation on why Shazam is one of the better DC movies, is that it's sort of from the perspective of the 13, 14 year old comic book fan, you know, that becomes a superhero. And so tapping into that, they accidentally tapped into what Marvel's doing right, is like appeal to everybody's 13 year old, 14 year old self and just be like, this is fun, but also they're superpowers and you can fly. Like, I don't know.
That's true. I think you tapped on something. I think that's also why Star Wars has worked with the different generations, but not the people who were too old for them at the time.
There you go. Yeah, it's always, you know, quote unquote, a kid's movie, but how old's a kid?
Exactly. Interesting. We come to discoveries here on Nerd Alerts.
All our hot takes, man, they add up to something. But to wrap up our Marvel news and to tie in what we were just talking about with Spider-Man No Way Home, Spider-Man No Way Home has the potential to deal with the multiverse. And after that, we have Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So read into that what you will. But the fun headline that I came across this week was that the person responsible for scoring all the music for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is Danny Elfman.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I had the same reaction. Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow. Cool. He's so good. That's great. That's a good get right there. Wow.
Exactly. That's coming from our generation of Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands. But if I were to think of Doctor Strange, I think weird and alternate universes. And if I think of music and weird and strange and alternate universes, I kind of think of Danny Elfman. So it's like a perfect match.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's exciting. Yeah, man, this multiverse thing's going to be neat. It's kind of neat to see them build up to it now. When they were doing the first build up and they started going down the Infinity Stone road, and we didn't really know what they were doing at the time. They just did it. And then some of our super nerdy friends and people we follow who have been in comics for so long started seeing, they're doing the Infinity. They started seeing it happening. They're doing the Infinity Stones. And so now I think we're kind of wise to them. So we're looking for, like, we know you're building up to something. You're not just sitting here just flopping movies out, DC. they like to build up something. And all that stuff was building up to the final showdown and the Infinity Gauntlet and all that kind of stuff. So this right here, I think we're seeing the veins of, like, they're going to do, like you said, those crazy books that sold like crazy. where all the superheroes are together from different timelines.
Exactly.
You know, we get to see that craziness where they have to, there's another me. I have to, just like we saw a little bit of it in the Spider-Verse movie, which mm-hmm. was so good. So it's going to be really neat to see what they do here. It's going to be really neat to see, wow. I mean, the possibilities are endless. I mean, they could use something like this to let people out of contracts, like people who are tired of playing X character.
Exactly. Well,
you use the one from the other verse.
He comes right? in. Yeah. He's been and replaced. It's just the other yeah. Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah. And then everybody's okay with it because it happened. Right. You're not dealing with this war machine thing where like, oh, it's a different guy because that one guy and this yeah. thing happened in the background. No.
No.
It's because, you know, as much as actors love doing what they do, and sometimes a lot of them, you know, they're willing to play the same character for the rest of their life.
Exactly.
But for the most part, most of them, they're like, okay, I've explored every aspect of that character and I'm ready to move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that's not what fans want. That's not what Marvel Studios want. They want to have this forever. But then, oh man, it's such a brilliant way. It's such a brilliant way to do it, because then you don't run into the Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Tom Holland thing.
Yep.
Because you accept that, like, if they had done this in the old ones, it was like, oh, well, there was that movie where Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were in it as Spider-Man in that crossover thing.
Boo, thumbs so, down. Yeah, no.
So, you know, so now here is Andrew Garfield being Spider-Man. So,
yeah
we can say he wasn't as good as blah, but we kind of have to accept it because it's still the same continuation of the story.
And it's old comic book stuff, like Jim Lee drew Spider-Man and then Todd McFarlane drew Spider-Man. So both stories are good. Nobody complains. It's just two different artists. So the yeah. fact that Marvel and Disney and all of them are doing that, I'm ready for it. It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. Exciting. It's very exciting. I hope my prognostication is right, though. I would be really interested to see if like we get like a new Doctor Strange, you know, because Benedict Cumberbatch seems like one of those actors who would be like, yeah, I'm ready to move on to doing other stuff.
Yeah, I've done superhero movies for I guess a decade now, and I'm ready yeah. to move on to go back to theater or TV like we were talking yeah. about.
I mean, because we know that happened with Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Yeah, he was glad to be old Captain America and be done.
Yeah.
As much as, you know, that role is meant to him and put him on the map and made him who he is now and made him a superstar. He was just kind of like, okay, I'm ready to hang the shield up and hand it over.
Just like in the comic books. Oh, it yeah. works out so perfectly.
It does. It's cool. And it also means like for our kids and our grandkids, they could have these movies forever. They don't have to worry about like Luke getting old or no. you know, any of this stuff. Like literally you'd be like, back in my day, Brie Larson was Captain Marvel. And be like, yeah, but then there was that movie where Captain Marvel, she switched and gave it up to Miss Marvel. And now blah, 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 you know. Oh.
Exactly. There's going to be all these tangents and crossovers. I look forward to it. Like I said, Marvel has a release schedule for, there's a new Marvel thing every week for every week until the end of 2021. So yes. what changes they yes. actually put in there and who, like what actors they switch out and swap in. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, what else other than this has been like a whole Marvel podcast other than the banana oil talk. What else we got on the nerd alerts?
We got a whole bunch of nerd alerts. Marvel is the big step of it. But in non-Marvel related news, this does come from another literary source, but this comes from Stephen King. They are remaking The Running Man. Have you heard about this at all?
No, I haven't heard about this. Wow.
Okay.
Wait a minute. The Running Man was Stephen King?
It was. Well, here's the nerdy okay. here's the nerdy tidbit. It was technically Richard Bachman, which was Stephen King's pseudonym when he first started out.
Right.
It was in his collection of short stories, so it wasn't a fully developed novel.
Right.
But Running Man was Stephen King in his early career.
Right. Man, that guy. Wow. No, seriously. He's so prolific and he definitely has a style to him, but there's a diversity within that style, if that makes any sense.
Oh, complete sense.
Because there's been some stuff from Stephen King that I couldn't get through,
mm-hmm.
and there's been some stuff that I ate up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's real interesting, because usually when you like someone, especially authors, you usually just like all their stuff. But with him, I mean, seriously, there's some stuff that I'm like, what is this garbage?
Well, yeah, you're also have the divide of like he writes stories about killer dogs, but he also writes the Shawshank Redemption. So I mean,
that's
two ends of the spectrum, or Green Mile and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. Wow, that's what a talent that guy is. Okay, cool. So anyway. Yeah. Running Man, right?
Running Man. There was a 1987 movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where they did they have made this movie before. So this is this is not an original movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger was in this dystopian sci-fi where he's essentially is a contestant in this game show of death. So if you survive all the obstacles and don't die, congratulations, you're the winner.
Aren't they prisoners or whatever?
They're forced to compete. It's typical like late 80s sci-fi. It's perfect, but. The fun tidbit about the new one is that Edgar Wright of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Truth Seekers, that's new on Amazon, Edgar Wright is in charge of doing what he says is a faithful, true to the literature adaptation of Stephen King's original story. So,
oh, wow. Well, I haven't read the original story. I only know of it through the Schwarzenegger movie.
And apparently that was close, but the thing that the Arnold Schwarzenegger version got wrong, quote unquote, is that it left out some of the social commentary as to not like, you know, upset people or turn heads. And it also left out some of the violence. So Edgar Wright might bring back some of the commentary and some of the violence, which, hey, thumbs up for me.
Have you read this story?
I have read the story. Okay. And I've seen the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I like both versions, but yes. What about you?
I haven't read the story, like I said, but of course I've seen the movie. Is that the one, or is that RoboCop? Which is the, I'll buy that for a dollar.
Buy that for a dollar is RoboCop.
Okay. See, I'm getting my, it's the same era. That's the same era of movie.
And same sort of style and themes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes in your brain, they mix up.
No, I'm with you. The only thing I can really say without giving, like, because I don't want to give spoilers for a short story that's, I guess, now 30 years old. but the original Stephen King was dark, and Stephen King was good about commenting on societal issues in the weird Stephen King way that he did. You know, he never came out and said stuff, but in the horror or the characters, he would be like, oh, that's kind of what's happening right now. And a dystopian game show where we watch people compete for their lives is kind of like, seems like something people would tune into now, you know, like if it was on the internet.
100%. That's not very far away from that Wipeout show or whatever.
Exactly. Wipeout or even like Black Mirror. Like it's the reflection of our society.
Yeah.
And the fact that Edgar Wright, who did Shaun of the Dead, which is like an expose on all zombie movies, and he did Hot Fuzz, which is an expose on all like buddy cop movies. Like, it's such a smart dude behind it. I'm so looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it now, too. You've got me all excited about that. Wow. Schwarzenegger's throwing him in everything.
Ha ha ha. Now, I don't have the answer on whether Arnold is coming back. They haven't confirmed that in any of the headlines, but it would be fun if he made the appearance, you know, as sort of like a governor or something. Yeah.
The governor would be perfect.
Yeah, see?
You know, something just brought to mind. This is what Nerd Alerts does. This Nerd Alerts is loose because I don't do any research. Mikey just comes to stuff with me. Yeah. But do you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but there was an arcade game. It wasn't like the Running Man arcade game, but it was the same thing. It was like a game show where you had to like fight your way out of a room through rooms or something like that.
Are you thinking Smash TV?
Yes. Smash TV.
Smash TV, the dual stick shooter. You had two people that could go around, but you had to clear the rooms and like there was an audience tuning in and depending on how well you shot. Yeah.
It's presented as a game show, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I would imagine that all comes from the same source of that 80s sort of dystopian Stephen King's like, TV's getting kind of weird and we're watching, you know, we're watching people do weird things on game shows. What's the most extreme game show I could come up with? What's uber creepy? Turns out it's The Running Man or Smash TV.
That's also kind of based on the whole Roman gladiator thing because those guys were often convicted of something or other.
And they added lines to it. I mean, that's marketing 101. No, it's upping the ante. I get it. But speaking of games and obstacles, we are now on to sort of video game nerd alerts. There's a couple in the headlines. The first is, I guess, I picked this out because it is special to Mikey, but There is a new trailer out there for the Mortal Kombat reboot movie. They're doing Mortal Kombat the movie again.
Oh, no. Or oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Get over here.
Okay, so first of all, there was the 1996 Mortal Kombat movie that is kind of terrible. Maybe ripe for a reassumption. I don't know. But they tried to do this. Mortal Kombat is a video game that's essentially just a fighting video game, and they made a movie about it in 1996, and Mortal Kombat has existed from 1996 into 2021, and they're doing a movie about it again, but it's the same movie.
Man, so what I think this sets up is, I'm going to call it right now, we need to do a reassumption reboot.
Yes.
So when this movie comes out, we'll watch the old one and watch the new one and compare and contrast.
I'm totally down for it, because hot take right now, Mikey loved the original, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to love the new one.
Well, I loved it. So that game was out when I was in college. So as we talked about on our earlier podcast, the name game one.
Yes.
That was like prime video game time for me. So that's the thing, too. Hey, people. Lay off the adults in their 40s who still play video games. We've been playing. We didn't just start. Arcades have been around since the 80s, man. Come on, man. Yeah,
we've been here from the beginning.
Yeah, we've been here from the beginning. And it was such a... At my school, we had one of those... You remember those TV carts? It was like two-story TV cart. They had them in schools.
But the TV was strapped to the top of it?
Yeah, the TV was strapped to the top. And then there was like a place for the VCR in the bottom part.
Yep.
And they'd roll it between classrooms to show you videos, right? So we had one of those at my freshman dorm. We had one of those that had the TV on top and the VCR on it and everything. But one of my friends had it was Sega. I think that was probably the Genesis, maybe. I don't know what. So he would bring it down and plug it into the TV that was down in our little lounge area.
Nice.
So, and we'd play Mortal Kombat all of the time. So we're in the lounge area. Like, I don't think anyone... actually, we did. I remember watching some movies there and stuff. So they had movie nights and stuff. So I was going to say, I don't think anyone ever watched movies, but that is so untrue. But it wasn't originally designed to be something that people would play video games on. It was designed to be a place for kids to lounge and watch movies.
Yeah.
But we'd go down there and just, instead of signing up for time, or I don't know how it was done, or if we just took it over. But anyway, we'd be playing Mortal Kombat. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
That's the whole, like, growing up with Mortal Kombat, that was a thing. If you were in the arcade, you put your quarter up to go next. Or if you were on a console hooked up to a TV cart, you were like, I get winner. Like, that was all it is.
Yep. That was, I get winner. Who was your guy?
It's always been Scorpion. You said get over here, yes, but I love it. Yeah, I love the yellow and black. I love the hook hand.
Yeah.
Over
here.
The good news for both of us is that line is actually in the trailer. Like, they did fan service. The trailer is great, so go watch it. Like, that's why I'm giving you this heads up right now. But Sub-Zero is there. Johnny Cage, Sonya, Jax, all your favorites from the original are returning. And then Scorpion is like the outcast, maybe bad guy, is how they're setting it up in the trailer.
Oh, no, I would see it. I remember learning those buttons so you could do the thing where you knock the person's head off.
Yeah, take out the spine. Like, that was the first spine I ever saw in a video game.
Oh, man. I don't know if I could get my old fingers to do that nowadays.
I'm sure it's muscle memory. It's like riding a bicycle. You get the controller in your hand and be like, oh, yeah, I think I remember this. But the Mortal Kombat reboot seems like muscle memory from the Mortal Kombat movie they made in the 90s. They just updated the graphics, gave them cooler costumes, but it's going to be the same things. A world of fighters have to come together to prove who's the champion, and that's the start and end of that story. It's just, it's Mortal Kombat, and they're fighting for to be the best fighter. Oh, simple premise. I love it. But that is not the only thing in video game movie news. There is one more crossover between movie and video games, and this is specific for you. I saw this headline. I was like, oh, this is Kevin. Did you know that they are making a live-action Borderlands movie?
What?
Yes. It is a thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that could be cool. It could be terrible. But Yeah, that could be quite exciting. If there's a lot of lore there in Borderlands to draw from.
That is the thing. Like, I know you're a recent convert. You and your boys are going through Borderlands based on a recommendation we made, I think, 2 months ago on the podcast. But they're taking that lore from Borderlands and making a whole movie about it from the Vault Hunters. But the Vault Hunters they've hired for this movie are Cate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Jamie Lee Curtis, and then Jack Black as the voice of Claptrap. I had the same reaction. You should laugh. Absolutely.
That was my reindeer. Wasn't it my reindeer?
It was your reindeer.
Oh, my God. Oh, so this is sounding like Jumanji.
Jumanji, or like a couple of years before that, they gave a whole bunch of money to Resident Evil to reboot that like to Hollywood levels. It sounds like they're giving that same treatment to Borderlands.
Oh, wow. Because I really like the Jumanji movies. I thought those were fun.
And this is half of it. This is Jack Black and Kevin Hart teaming up again.
Yeah, that's why I said that. But, I mean, those Jumanji movies are exactly the kind of summer blockbuster type movie that I dig.
Oh, just, absolutely. That's, yep.
It's just sit there, brain off, popcorn going in mouth, and just, you know, go.
I'm totally with you. That's why I'm excited for the Borderlands movie, because if it's that kind of summer action blockbuster with the humor of Borderlands, because that's half the reason Borderlands was fun to me, is that like the weapons had funny names, the characters had funny lines, Claptrap was always getting in the way, and if it's Jack Black, Jack Black has no problem getting in the way. So
no, not at all. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. I'm on board just because Jack Black's going to be Claptrap.
Exactly. And then Cate Blanchett, I mean, that's Lord of the Rings, like, legacy, so I don't know.
She's probably going to be like a siren, that would seem like the kind of...
Or maybe reprise her Thor role where she's, like, the evil bad chick, maybe, because she did a real good job in Thor as, like, his... as Hela? What? Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Handsome Jane.
There
she
you go.
Be Handsome Jane.
See? Something like that. It'd be perfect. That's probably going to be later in the year, maybe early 2020, you know, movie theater
2022?
Release. 2022, yep. Movie theater releases are sort of up in the air with COVID and everything, so it's hard to get an actual release date, but it is in production and coming soon as quick as they can get it. So look forward to the Borderlands video game, the movie.
Wow. That's cool. You know, it used to be when they'd announce video game movies, we'd like facepalm.
Yep.
But seems like the nerds are more and more control of Hollywood now.
That, and I think video games have progressed to a level where there is sort of this lore and world building that kind of, like, if you're playing the game, you kind of discover it at your own pace. But when they're making these AAA games now, they build it on this whole world. Like, Borderlands has a whole world regardless of which character you play. So the fact that they're taking that world and throwing it into a new property is interesting.
I'm surprised, too, that more stuff like that hasn't happened, especially given that not everyone is super into video games, and some people still don't like video games, but some of the stories in some of these games are so strong. Because, so think about one of the games we like, Red Dead.
Yes.
Right? There's an entire prequel that has a great story that you play through, and there's an entire sequel, or the actual story, that is a great story that you play through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just took that story, scripted as a script, got actors and filmed it as a Western and put it out there, it'd be one of the greatest Westerns ever. And sure, the people who played it would just be like, oh, I know everything that's happening in this because I played it. But there's so many people who haven't played that game that you just make a great Western that would probably be really successful. And it seems like you'd do that. Rockstar, do that. That would be cool as heck.
There would be so many 65-plus old white dudes out there that are like, this is the greatest Western I've ever seen. Like, where did this come from? And be like, it's a video game, boomer.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. You could do the same thing with all the Grand Theft Auto games, too.
Oh, exactly.
Any of these, like you said, any of these AAA problems. I mean, they kind of did it with The Witcher, sort of, but we've said that before. That's technically a book. So, but I think you could do... They kind of tried to do it with Halo. That was kind of weird, and still back in the days when they were making the Doom movie and stuff. But I mean, it seems like they were trying to do something different. But it seems like if you just like went ahead and said, "No, we're doing the exact video game story." Let's see. This is why I'm outside the box. This is why I'm outside Hollywood.
Lay it on.
Listen
me.
To me, Hollywood, because I know what they think.
Pay attention.
They think in their little Hollywood executive minds is, Well, the only people who would go to see this movie are people who played the game. And if we make it exactly like the game, then they're not going to go see the movie because they already played the game. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that your story is so strong in some of these games that you want to appeal to people who never played the game. So you get the revenue from new people anyway, because they're never going to play the game, but they'll watch a movie. They'll watch an awesome mafia movie. They'll watch an awesome Western. They'll watch an awesome sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mass Effect movie, where because all these things have storylines that have scripts, and oh man, whatever, they're missing out if I don't think it's a cop out. I think it would be super cool to see some great actor as Arthur Morgan,
because that's one of the benefits of the time we put into video games, is we're experiencing these top of the line, well written stories that have a team of writers behind them. They just happen to be in the video game media, and people are missing out on that. So if you can translate that to movies and maybe do the back route of like, oh, I like this movie, so maybe I'll jump into the video game. Maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's my point I'm getting at. Like, my wife's never going to play any Red Dead game, but I know if she watched a Western that was that exact storyline. And there's also precedent for it, too. There's people who take all the cutscenes out of these movies and edit them together in one big movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Do it, Hollywood. I want to see it.
Well, fingers crossed that Borderlands sort of crosses that threshold. It's still on the line whether it's just Hollywood fluff or actual, you know, video game homage, but we'll see how it goes. There's a lot of cool people behind it, so fingers crossed that it's good.
Yes.
But also related to more video game media, and the last thing I'll bring up, we talked about streaming services and how they're so prevalent now over like movie and TV companies. Paramount Plus is now launching in March. Which is CBS, CBS All Access. They're bringing it all together and they're putting it out on all online. So at the very least, it's a new streaming service that you have to add to all your subscriptions.
Another streaming service. I don't know if I can do anymore.
That's why you get the friend discount. You figure out, you get on that group chat and figure out which ones your friends have and share logins. You didn't hear this from me, but maybe that's what you do.
I don't think you should do that, Mikey. I don't think that's a good thing to do.
I agree with you. Wink, wink. You totally should. Anyway. Paramount Plus is coming in March. And because it is a new streaming service, they have to sort of put out news about their new flagships that are coming. One of them is related to video games, and it is coming on Paramount Plus when it launches in March. I don't know if it's coming in March, but one of the shows that they're sort of putting out in the headlines is that they're making a Halo TV series. They're bringing Halo back, like you just mentioned.
Oh, okay. Man, this is something I was thinking of this week. So we've been talking about how, like, I've been playing through BioShock.
Yeah.
And first of all, it's been great. BioShock, the first one, like you said, was terrific. And like you said, BioShock 2 was just kind of one again.
Yeah.
And it was fine. and right now I'm playing Ultimate, and it's fun. Part of the problem with Ultimate is I think it got overhyped when I went in it, because a lot of, like, this is the best first-person shooting game ever, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But, of course, I haven't gotten that far into it yet. So I'm waiting and seeing. And, yes, it's fun, and I'm liking it, and I'm not poo-pooing it at all. But I still think to this day, even after playing the little bit of BioShock Ultimate, to me, the best first-person shooter game ever is Halo.
Oh, okay.
Nothing has, I don't know, just to me, it's everything. I love that game, and I've said it many times on this podcast that, yep, I love that game, but I've done so many first-person shooters. From the first one I ever remember playing was Wolfenstein, which might have been the first one ever.
Yep.
And through Doom and all these ones, I just love first-person shooters so much. And no shade on BioShock Ultimate. It's really fun. But there's a simplicity, but also a complexity at the same time. I know I'm kind of contradicting myself, but I know Halo just has this sweet spot.
Yes.
As a game. So we'll see. I'll report to you, everyone, later once I'm done playing BioShock Ultimate. But still, for pound for pound, since you brought Halo up in this TV series, that's the best first-person shooting game I've ever played in my life, all different versions of it. So doing a TV show is exciting to me, but also scary to me, because I don't know nothing about these Paramount and the people in charge of that stuff. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I wish I had more details to report about the crew or the creators behind it, but we're still sort of in early talks as far as the Halo TV series go. But it's like we're talking about, Halo does have that world building the game itself, like, dropped you in. You're this Spartan Marine that just is dropped on a planet, and you have to figure it out and experience the story for yourself. So the fact that they have that sort of world building and history to lead into, like, a TV series that could be fleshed out as well as Witcher was. I mean, you have the Spartans, you have the Covenant, and then if you play the first Halo game, you have the reveal of the Flood. Like, there's so much, it's so ripe for material. So
it is. But it's also so ripe for screwing it up.
True. Like, I don't know. They could have somebody weird voice Cortana, or maybe a real short guy play Master Chief. I don't know. I think it's
I'm just worried about the CGI stuff, because there's so many aliens and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Some stuff that comes across so cool on a video game screen, when you put it in live action, it's kind of like wonky.
I get it. A little bit of nerd trivia here. You mentioned it earlier. They tried to do Halo before.
Yeah.
But it actually ended up turning into District 9, directed by Neil Blomkamp. Like, that was started out as a Halo production, and they sort of just, like, took all the labels away and made it its own sci-fi movie. So
really?
That's the rumor. That's the nerd story behind it.
Like, I love District 9. That movie's great.
It started out as what should have been a Halo project, based on all, like, the Marines in the shanty towns and on a weird planet. Yep.
Oh, wow.
But there was, like, rights issues and, you know, not liability, but, like, publication issues and royalties and all that. So they just, he made it his own thing. But District 9 is awesome. And if that's where they're starting from,
maybe
2021 we get an awesome Halo series. Fingers crossed.
We'll see. There's like a Halo show that's been on Netflix forever that's got, like, the girl from Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe in it.
Oh,
like,
I didn't know about that. Okay.
Well, you don't have to know about it. I don't know. It's one of those, you know, there's those things out there. You're like, is this a fan film? No, I think that person's famous.
Wait, yeah, I've seen that face before. So, hey, I mean, this is one of the flagships that Paramount Plus is putting out. So hopefully they're putting a whole bunch of money behind it to make it something that's memorable. So, fingers crossed.
Yes, I hope so too, because interesting.
If not, they're going to fall back on their other flagship series, which is they're bringing back Frasier.
Oh my gosh. Now I don't feel good about the Halo one, if that's another one of their decisions.
Oh no, I completely disagree. Frasier is one of Mikey's old time, like, comfort old sitcoms. That stuff holds up. Frasier is great.
I don't not like Frasier. It's such a weird I like Frasier is what I should say. Frasier, but it's one of those, like, why? I think the reason why I balk at it,
yes,
that's an old timey word too, is because I like Frasier. I think that's why.
Okay,
it's like, let's not wreck it, you know? Because I don't know. It's just like, it seemed done to me. You're done. Frasier was done.
And the end.
I was satisfied. My tummy was full of Frasier.
Exactly. And we've had that sort of commentary on the podcast before. Like, if you've already made the movie and it came out relatively successful, why try and do it again? Right?
Right.
So
right.
We are kind of, quote unquote, slightly anti-reboot on this podcast. But here's the good news of why Frasier might be cool, is that everybody's coming back. So it is Kelsey Grammer. It is David Hyde Pierce. It is Daphne. But they're actually, it's not a direct continuation. It's the third act of Frasier, because technically the first act of Frasier was on Cheers.
Yes, uh-huh.
And then he had a second act as a radio host, and now they're saying this is the third act. So he's not going to be a radio host. He may not even be in Seattle anymore. He might be in Chicago based on the finale of Frasier itself, but they're saying this is like the next chapter in old Frasier's life. So they're kind of keeping
it true to the storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm warming up a little bit more. It almost seems like a Bob Newhart type of thing.
Exactly.
Where all his shows were related but not.
There's some common thread, but they're just carrying over the funs and laughs of all the properties rather than tying everything together. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's why they did that funny, famous thing where he woke up and his new show was a dream from his old show.
It was all a dream. That's such a That's such a 60s, 70s cop out, though.
No, it's. I think that show that happened in the 80s or whatever. But the reason why it was funny is because it was kind of meta, because a lot of people were like confused throughout the whole thing and were like, "Wait, is this the guy from that show because
there you go.
He was like a therapist or whatever in that show. And now he's they're like, no, it's a different thing. But because Bob Newhart is Bob Newhart, he's just the way he is.
Yep.
People couldn't see that the character was a totally different character. So it was a kind of a meta inside joke. He's a great comedian. So the whole joke was that in the end, you were right. It was that guy the whole time.
I got you.
Because it was him dreaming about it. So
no, I get it, and I'm with you. And it seems like they're kind of honoring that sort of code with the Frasier reboot, because really, who else could play Frasier besides Kelsey Grammer? So
Nobody.
So they're not going to replace him. They're bringing him back. So that has my hopes up a little bit. But like I said, this comes out with Paramount Plus, which is in the future. And so all we can do is wait and see how it goes.
Yes. Interesting. Again, wow. Like we were saying, network TV, where have you gone? To streaming, apparently.
That is the new thing. It's pretty crazy. But now now we're getting up to, like, I think I have logins for at least 8 different streaming medias.
Oh, man. Is it like, is all it's going to be over the antenna is like local news and like soap operas?
And live sports and telenovelas, yes.
Oh.
But Paramount Plus is coming out in March. Other highlights, if you have any comments on them, but here's the quick headline. Paramount Plus is also bringing back VH1's Behind the Music, MTV's Unplugged, and Yo! MTV Raps are all coming back to Paramount Plus as well.
Oh, for the I guess music. Paramount owns MTV.
There you go. But that's for the music nerd in you. They're bringing all those back.
That's cool. And also, that also means that Paramount Plus is going to have a whole bunch of crappy reality shows.
Like The Real World or...
Yeah. Now, the original Real World, that's seminal for me. That's seminal for me. And even though it was kind of the evil thing that started it all, it was the most pure because it was the first one.
I get it. To be honest, I feel the same way about the announcement that they're bringing the Unplugged series back, because like all the bands I loved, like they sort of hit an extra tier when they did MTV's Unplugged. It's like, oh, they can even do it acoustic. They can, you know, they're authentic. Yep. They can bring it real.
Yep. My favorite band live. Their Unplugged is one of my favorite things ever.
See? Nirvana, one of the greatest all times. And I think one of their best-selling albums after Nevermind was their Unplugged set. So,
well, it also helped that he kind of died right after it.
That is a discussion for another podcast. Yes. I could go on for 20 minutes about that.
Okay, well, we'll leave that there. So, hey, everybody.
Yes.
That was Nerd Alerts. Thanks, Mikey.
Yeah, that's what you have to look forward to in March and some part for the rest of the year.
Yes, so let us know, everybody, if you think that Marvel's doing too much. Have you had enough of Marvel? Are you? Let us know. Or are you super excited about what's going on with all the Marvel stuff?
Yes.
Paramount Plus, are you on board? Was Frasier enough to get you there? Is Halo enough to get you there? We want to know, do you think banana oil can get any traction?
Are we pouring banana oil in your ear right now?
Yes. Let us know. You can hit us up on all the social medias. At Assuming Pod, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're on Instagram most. You can also, if you want to send us a letter, you can do it via electronic mail, assumingpositions@gmail.com.
But also, every time you say electronic mail, I now think of WandaVision, where they're like, this is a new thing, electronic mail.
Yes, we often tell you how we would like it written in, and this time, well, I think we would like it written as a dispatch in the Halo universe.
Yes. Messages from the ring. This just in. The flood is attacked, but also I found this new comic book and it's really cool.
We want to thank you guys so much for listening. We also want to thank that guy Brad for doing our announcements, Not Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzar for our music, and we hope you guys have a nerdy week.
A nerdy March. Deedle deedle nerd alerts, nerd alerts, nerd alerts. Extra, extra. Read all about it. There it is.